Westfall's demand. Deirdre realized, as she sat facing Dr. Archer, that his beard made him appear older than the rest of his face suggested. Grant Archer's office looked more like a comfortable sitting room than an executive's headquarters. No desk, just a scattering of comfortable chairs, two of them recliners, which Deirdre instinctively avoided. The walls were glowing soft gray. Smart screens, she recognized. The station's director was sitting in a slightly tattered old armchair, his feet propped on a round ottoman that looked to Deirdre as if it might originally have been a small oil drum. Now it was covered in putty gray upholstered faux leather. A little table of clear plastic stood beside his chair. What looked like an electronic remote control wand rested on it.
"I really appreciate your coming all the way out here on such a short notice," Archer was saying.
"The scholarship you're offering is a very strong incentive," she said. Archer shrugged.
"It's the least we can do. We're in something of a bind. We suddenly lost the microbiologist who was scheduled to join our staff, and..."
"Frieda Nordstrom?" Deirdre asked. He looked surprised.
"From Cellini University? Yes. Did you know her?"
Deirdre hesitated, then said, "Only by reputation."
"Her death was a surprise to us all," Archer said.
"Rabies," said Deirdre. He nodded somberly. "I've come down with it, too."
"Yes. I saw your medical file. How in the world did you ever contract rabies?"
Deirdre hesitated. "I don't know," she said. That was the truth, she told herself. The rest is suspicions, guesses.
"Our people here will take care of you. Don't worry," Archer said easily.
Deirdre wondered if she should ask him about Catherine Westfall's mentioning a genetically engineered form of the virus. Before she could make up her mind, though, Archer brightened and said,
"Well, now, we ought to talk about what you'll be doing with our team."
"I was wondering why you want a microbiologist."
"To tell you the truth, Ms. Ambrose, I'm clutching at a straw. And I have an ulterior motive for asking specifically for you as well."
"I don't understand."
"You've done some work on Volvox, haven't you?"
Deirdre replied. "Volvox aureus, yes. I did my master's thesis on that."
"That's why you're here," Archer said. "One of the reasons, at least. Frieda Nordstrom was the world authority on Volvox."
Blinking with surprise, Deirdre objected. "Volvox are colonies of single-celled algae. What makes you so interested in them?"
"The leviathans," said Archer.
"Those giant whales in Jupiter's ocean? I don't see what they've got to do with Volvox."
"Those giant whales," Archer said, "are colonies of smaller units. It's hard to believe, but they are actually like Volvox and the Portuguese men of war. Creatures that are composed of specialized independent organisms living together cooperatively. I believe it's called symbiosis."
It took Deirdre a moment to digest that idea. Archer was smiling at her. It made him appear quite youthful, Deirdre thought. Gray hair or no? Mistaking her silence for disbelief, Archer said,
"I'm not a biologist of any stripe, but I was hoping that you might use what you know of Volvox to help us understand the leviathans."
Deirdre had to suppress a laugh. With a shake of her head, she replied, "A colony of 50,000 Volvox algae might make a ball about half a millimeter in diameter. Those whales..."
"Leviathans," Archer corrected.
"Those leviathans are kilometers across, aren't they? The size of mountains?"
and then some.
So where is the connection? Deirdre asked. How can microscopic algae help you understand those enormous Jovian creatures?
Archer's face settled into a thoughtful pucker.
As I understand your little bugs...
Algae, he conceded with a dip of his chin.
As I understand it, their colonies have some specialized cells. Flagella for propulsion, eye spots that sense light, that sort of thing.
They have sexual cells too, said Deirdre.
They do? I thought they reproduced by fissioning.
Also through sex, but alone. One colony can contain both sexes. They don't have to find a partner.
Archer rubbed at his beard.
We've seen the leviathans disassembling, coming apart into component units which then butt off new units. And then they all reunite to form two beasts where there's been only one before.
You've observed that? Without answering, Archer picked up the remote control unit on the table beside his chair and pointed it at one of the wall screens.
It's very rare, he said. We've been studying the Leviathans for more than 20 years, and we've only seen this once. Of course, we can't get down into that ocean and watch them continuously.
The screen showed a murky expanse. Deirdre could barely make out several shadowy forms moving through the gloom.
Leviathans, Archer said,
in a voice that was little short of awestruck. A tiny red line appeared at the bottom of the screen, no more than 3 millimeters long, Deirdre judged.
That scale line represents 100 meters, Archer said, a little longer than the length of an American football field.
Deirdre blinked. Then the animals must be...
On the order of 10 kilometers long, roughly the size of Manhattan Island.
Oh, my!
Archer smiled tightly.
Indeed.
The picture suddenly cleared considerably. Deirdre could see the nearest animal in some detail now.
Switched sensors to the sonar. We get better imagery with sound than we do with any frequency of light.
How deep are they?
This is about 700 kilometers below the surface.
700?
Deirdre began to understand the awe in Archer's voice.
This was recorded by one of our submersibles. Unmanned, of course.
700 kilometers deep, Deirdre thought. No human being could survive at that depth, not even in the best submersible anyone could build.
But then she remembered that Max Jaeger boasted of designing a sub that could carry a human crew down to the depths where the Leviathans swam.
As if he could read her thoughts, Archer said, "We've just about completed a new submersible that will be crewed. 5 people maximum."
"Dr. Jaeger designed it," Deirdre said.
"That's right. He's come out here to check out the final details of the construction. He was on the ship coming in with you, wasn't he?"
She nodded. On the screen, the massive Leviathan seemed to be falling apart. As it swam through the dark sea, it began to break up. Deirdre saw bits and pieces of the animal floating off independently. What looked like flippers slipped away first, then broad chunks of the beast's hide and inner parts that she could not identify.
"Disassembling," Archer said. "This is when they're vulnerable to the sharks, predators. They're much smaller than the Leviathans, but very fast. Big teeth."
A trio of what had been fins floated closer. Suddenly they began to shudder. The shaking grew more and more violent.
"The waves they send through the water when they bud like that is what attracts the sharks," Archer said.
They watched for more than an hour as the individual bits